Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, we've just completed our fourth year of hosting and producing Eyes on Success. And during that time period, we've collected over 200 episodes in our archives, and we think this can be a valuable resource for people who are looking for topics of particular interest or interviews we've done with particular people. So in this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about how to best use that resource and find what you're looking for in our archives.
We'll start by explaining how to use the search tool and explore the archives. Then in the focus topic, we'll give some highlights of some of the topics that we have covered, including excerpts from our discussions with some of the major pioneers in the field of accessibility. And towards the end of this program, we'll describe how you can connect with Eyes on Success, including several ways in which you can get the announcement for each week's show. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tips come from earlier this year. We've gotten lots of great tips over the years, each related to that week's theme, but these tips are universally applicable.
In my experience, at least, there was never any advantage to try to hide the vision impairment. So I learned that the hard way, and everybody has to make their own decisions in that regard. But for me, there was certainly no advantage to trying to pretend I could see when I couldn't.
A lot of blind people will tell you that they have no interest in doing this long list of things, whatever it might be. And they say, well, that's just not the kind of person that I am. And one of the questions that our students have to seriously ask themselves is, do you not do that because you wouldn't want to if you were sighted, or do you not do that because you're blind? And you feel like that's not something that is supported for blind people to be able to do, so you have no interest in doing it. And we find that our students do actually want to go out and learn these new things and try these new things.
What I always tell people is, you know, they say it takes confidence to do these things without vision. And I think it's arrogant to say things aren't possible, because that assumes you know all the variables. And, you know, it's only when we're humble that we open ourselves up to the possibilities that really are out there.
And that was Jerry Chevalier from episode 1438, talking about some of his work developing early DAISY standards and DAISY players. Jay Luchar from episode 1426, talking about a technique he teaches for navigating using echolocation. And Tim Cordes from show 1423, talking about how he became and practices as a physician in spite of the fact that he's been blind since well before he began medical school.
And those statements sort of give you a flavor of the kinds of attitudes that we try to reinforce every week through the shows we do and the interviews we do with people and the stories they tell.
As promised, we'll start by explaining how to use the Eyes on Success search tool. Okay, Pete, where would you start?
Well, I would start on our homepage, www.eyesonsuccess.net. And I had a lot of fun programming up a little search feature. So there's a search box on that webpage where you can enter either the number of a show, a keyword, or a topic, or a person's name. And then if you hit enter, you'll be presented with a list of shows matching that criterion. And in addition, you'll get a summary of each of those shows, along with links to the audio and the show notes to that episode.
And you can also access that search tool from the page that lists all of this year's episodes. It's right there near the top of the page.
The interesting thing is we use that search tool ourselves quite a bit when we're trying to reference previous shows that may have something to do with a show that we're talking about at the present time.
It was a huge help putting together this show in particular, because we wanted to highlight certain categories of topics that we had talked about, and typing in something like sports returned a whole list of all different shows talking about different kinds of sports. But we'll get into what kind of results you can get in the next segment of this show.
But for example, if you're interested in jobs or careers, if you enter some of those terms, you'll come up with a list of shows that we did with people who have interesting careers who also have visual impairments and how they deal with those professions and how rewarding those professions can be.
And then, of course, the other way you can explore the archives, we've got every show we've ever done listed in the archives and separated out by year, because otherwise it would be a really long list. So this year's shows are always on this year's shows site. And then there's a link to the shows from last year and the year before, going back to 2011, with 52 episodes in each year. And if you just want to skim down, scroll through, you can do that too. And you'll get a flavor of all of the widely varied topics that we've covered.
And since we've done over 200 episodes by now, there are shows covering almost any topic you'd be interested in, from new products to sports, hobbies, recreations, new scientific breakthroughs, new research in the field of accessibility, etc. So make use of those archives. They're very useful to us, and we hope they're as useful to you as they are to us.
And if there's a topic that you'd like to hear us cover, first, go to the search tool and explore whether we've done it already. And if we haven't, or if there's been a major update in whatever that topic is, send us an email note at hosts@eyesonsuccess.net and make a suggestion. We're always happy to accept suggestions from our listeners.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the results you can get from using our search tool, some of the topics we've covered, and some highlights from them. Well, we have in particular had a lot of fun talking to some of the major pioneers in the field of accessibility, and we'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about that, giving some quick excerpts. The first one we'd like to mention is Jim Thatcher, and he was involved in the development of the very first screen reader.
My name is Jim Thatcher, and I spent 37 years working at IBM. The time this was starting, there definitely weren't other screen readers around. That is, for the PC, there weren't other PCs around. So we started calling it PC SAID, S-A-I-D. And we thought that was really cool, because SAID was the name of the other thing, synthetic audio interface driver. So this was a PC SAID, and we thought that was a really great name. The development lab started to realize that this would be a good thing to actually make as a product, much to my surprise, actually. So they took it over, and as they developed it, which took about a year and a half, so about 88, they decided to change the name of it from PC SAID, which I thought was really cool, to IBM Screen Reader.
Right, and Screen Reader was actually the brand name from the IBM Screen Reader at the time, right?
That is the name that IBM called it. There's never been a trademark.
So you kind of glossed over this quickly about there being a hardware component. As I recall, in the old days, it wasn't possible, or it wasn't the architecture, to have the software make the speech synthesizers work inside computers, but there was also a separate hardware board that had to run all the speech synthesizers. Is that the way this was done?
Well, yes. The SAID system, that was that huge $18,000 talking terminal, actually had a boat track synthesizer the size of a large suitcase as its speech synthesizer. And PC SAID, the precursor to IBM Screen Reader, initially worked on a lot of different serial synthesizers in the sense that they plugged into the serial port of the personal computer. And then later on, cards began to be made for the PC, which basically took those boxes and put them as cards on the PC, and then all you had to do was plug them in and the thing started to talk. So it was an evolution from a huge synthesizer box epitomized by the Votrax PC.
For those of us who used computers decades ago, some of these stories really bring back some great old memories. But that was just one of the first screen readers that was developed. But of course, progress continued. And for people who are familiar with more modern screen readers, you'll certainly know the name Freedom Scientific and JAWS. And one of the people we talked with was also Ted Henter, who started HenterJoyce.
My name's Ted Henter, H-E-N-T-E-R. Born and raised in the Panama Canal Zone in Central America. Grew up sighted, water skiing, surfing, raced go-karts, raced motorcycles. I came to the States to go to college, and I raced motorcycles professionally, road racing. And I was in eighth place in the world championship in 1978 when I was blinded in a car accident in England. I got sent up to Chicago to train this fellow, Bill Joyce, and we got to be friends. And a year or so later, we formed HenterJoyce.
You know, that's funny. I always thought Joyce was your wife's first name.
Yeah, a lot of people think that.
So Joyce was your partner.
Yep.
So what was your initial goal with starting HenterJoyce? That's a big deal, starting your own company.
I just wanted to make a better screen reader. That was it. Because I, you know, knew how important computers were for blind people. But at that point, you know, there were several screen readers for the IBM PC around. And what really was a breakthrough is I had met this fellow, Glenn Gordon.
Yeah, we know Glenn.
Good.
Yeah, Pete has pretty much the same history with Glenn that you did with Dean Blasey. Every time Pete would take JAWS to its knees, he'd send in these bug reports, and eventually they'd trickle up to Glenn. And Pete and Glenn wound up being buddies.
Great. Glenn's a great guy. He was a customer of ours back when I was working for Dean and enabling technology. That was like 93, 94.
That was close to the time I met Glenn. In fact, as I recall, there was a lot of competition, a lot of people, you know, as you indicated, trying to get into making Windows screen readers. And what I thought was interesting, Xerox at the time, where I was working, was making the transition to Windows 3.1. And I figured, well, I better learn this if I, you know, want to, you know, keep my job and, you know, stay efficient. And I must have tried out 3, 4, 5 different screen readers, and boy, they were just terrible. And I was all set to give up when finally I found JAWS for Windows. And I thought, wow, this works so much better than the other ones. And you know what I attributed to was when I learned that many of the people, in particular the developers like Glenn, were blind. And I figured, you know, they had to make it work. And maybe that's why it works so well.
Yeah, that's always been our position on that. I think you're right. We released the very first product in January of 1995, and it became a hit right away.
Now, Ted mentioned that he used to work for Dean Blasey. Well, of course, we've talked with Dean also, and he is best known for his innovations in creating refreshable Braille.
I'm Dean Blasey. I always had the back of my mind making a note taker for the blind. I started thinking about it, and in my basement, I started developing the Braille and Speak. 1987 is when I took it to the NFB convention. I remember asking my wife if I could spend $10,000 to make these 10 prototypes. And surprisingly, she said, well, if you think we can sell some. So I figured, well, yeah, eventually we could sell probably 100 of these things. And so I made the prototypes and took, I think, 6 or 8 of them to the NFB convention. I sold all of those. I came back with checks in my pocket. I came back with cash. I came back with credit card numbers because everybody wanted one. I mean, it was amazing how many people looked at it and felt it and played with it and said, I've got to have one. And they were willing to pay me up front because, of course, I didn't have enough cash to really start a business. So for the next few years, my wife and I built these things in the basement of our house and sold them. And I guess 15 years later, we ended up selling 50 or 60,000 of them.
Is your wife an engineer also?
No, she's not. She's mostly a mother and took care of the house. But she helped manage the office and did the paperwork and the billing and all of the things I didn't like to do.
And assemble a few units in the basement.
Well, she helped with that. Yeah, she'd do the packaging.
Well, the next component to all of these technologies that blind people have come to rely on is synthetic speech. And we spoke with Andrew Breen at Nuance.
My name is Andrew Breen, and I'm Director of Innovation for Text-to-Speech at Nuance Communications.
And he described how speech synthesis is done now and how it got there from the early days. And here's an example that he was able to provide from von Kempelen's speaking machine in 1791. Well, things have improved big time in the last 200 and some odd years.
Thank heavens for us who can't see computers.
Here are some recent voices from Nuance.
Hello. This is a sample of the Allison Vocalizer 6 voice from Nuance.
There are over 30 different voices available, including 6 nationalities of English. I'm Oliver. I'm British.
I'm Lee. I'm from Australia, mate.
Hey, what about me? I'm Samantha. I'm American and I introduce and finish Eyes on Success every week.
And here are a few less recent but more fun examples of synthetic speech featuring the Deck Talk, which you may remember, doing some unusual and you might even say unnatural things.
We are living a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We are living a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
Good gosh.
For those of you that generally speed up these podcasts, you might want to slow it down and re-listen to some of those examples. They're kind of fun. Then we talked with Jim Gashel, who put many of these technologies together in the KNFB Reader.
Hi, my name is James Gashel, and I am Vice President of Business Development at KNFB Reading Technology.
And for those who don't know, what does KNFB stand for?
K stands for Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil was the founding CEO of our company, and so he gets the first initial of the company name. NFB stands for National Federation of the Blind. I came over to KNFB from the National Federation of the Blind, having worked there for 33 and a half years as Director of Governmental Affairs and other related positions.
Can you tell us a little bit about how Kurzweil and NFB got together this partnership years ago?
I was sitting in my office in Washington, D.C. in 1975, and a young gentleman by the name of Raymond Kurzweil walked into the office without an appointment. He said he'd invented a reading machine that blind people could use. And, you know, if you think back to 1975, the computer was something that institutions had, government agencies and schools, universities had. But people like you and me, just the average person, didn't have a computer. Now we have many computers in our homes and offices, but this was unheard of. And here comes Ray saying he had invented a reading machine and used a computer that blind people could use it, and it was going to change our lives. Well, I wasn't quite that impressed with it, but he was. And I said, we would like to take a look at it and see if we could help to advance the project. So we were able to help with that. We evaluated the technology and felt that we could make a contribution to its launch. And we appointed a team of people qualified to do engineering work, human factors work on it. And we obtained, through a fundraising effort that I coordinated, the first 6 pre-production models of what became the Kurzweil reading machine.
And I can remember having one of those $30,000 machines sitting in my office at Xerox, and now that kind of capability is available for $100 on an iPhone.
Only it works a whole lot better.
And if you'd like to hear the complete interviews we did with any of those people, again, just use the search tool or look through our archives.
Now, as you can imagine, we track all of the downloads to the podcast. We know that many people listen to this show on radio reading services, and many other people listen to it through internet streaming services. And we can't actually track those listeners, but we can track how many people download each podcast. And so, of course, we do, because we can. So here's a list of the top few downloads for podcasts. Believe it or not, the most downloaded podcast was the first one we did in a series of extreme sports for the blind. And this one was about canoeing. And before you start to snicker, you need to understand that Jose Tamayo paddled that canoe for 65 miles through alligator-infested waters. So we think that's a legitimate extreme sport. And then other top hitters in terms of podcast downloads were Hotspot Clicker Sets, Google Glass, Orca Gnome and Accessibility in Linux, the Seeing Eye GPS app, and Living with a Blind Person, which was especially fun because, as you may know, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, Pete is blind and I'm sighted, and we interviewed his mother, his sister, my parents, our kids, and a little bit of me. And that just gives you a flavor of, you know, when you think about that handful of topics, how diverse the topics are that we've covered over the 4 years that we've been doing this show.
And we noticed that even some of the older shows are still being downloaded. It's not just the recent shows that are popular. So it's great to see that people are making use of the shows in our archives. We keep them there for you.
We highlighted some of the earlier shows where we interviewed people who were pioneers in accessibility technology, and a lot of that is related to reading, because really, what's most difficult for a blind person in the absence of access technology, and that's really important to do, is reading. And if you type read or reading into the search tool, you'll get a whole list of shows where we've talked about various types of accessible reading materials or devices. And we played you some examples of the old Deck Talk. We did shows on the NLS digital audio player and the newer Bard mobile app. We featured the Victor Reader Stream and the Bookport Plus. Some of these other apps, the NFB Newsline and KNFB Reader, and Kindle Fire and Nook, which are available as standalone devices and also as apps.
So there's lots of different ways to access material these days, no matter what your visual impairment is. And if you want to find out more about them, just type in some of those keywords and listen to the complete show.
Unemployment is very high among people with visual impairments, and one of the things we try to do is to illustrate that a wide variety of careers are actually available to people with visual impairments. Just because you can't see doesn't mean you can't do it. Pete had a great career as a physicist, but we've also spoken with other blind people who are an oceanographer, a physician, an auto mechanic, piano technician, several attorneys, many musicians and music producers, and several authors. And in addition, we actually did two different shows this year giving advice and resources to help people find a job who may not have one or who may be looking for a better one.
And we think it's important to be airing these shows because sometimes people get stuck in a rut and really don't have an idea of what professions might be open to them if they have a visual impairment. So hopefully these shows and the diversity of people we talk with give an idea of the wide range of opportunities that are available to anybody with the right background and if they're really motivated to pursue some of these professions.
In the introduction, we mentioned that we've done a number of shows on extreme sports, and we've covered skiing, ice hockey, hiking, running, canoeing, and even martial arts with weapons. And if you, again, put any of these terms into the search engine, you'll find incredible stories of people who have done amazing things. And you may think hiking is a tame sport, but Carl Ritter hiked the entire 2,200-mile-long Appalachian Trail, and he did the first 500 miles alone.
Despite being visually impaired.
So all the way from activities like that, we've also talked about some slightly tamer pastimes, including knitting, ham radio, woodworking, and birding. And of course, there are many other categories of topics that we've covered that are too many to mention today. But as you can imagine, in over 200 episodes, we've been able to cover a lot of different things. Now for this week's final item, how you can connect with Eyes on Success, including getting announcements of the weekly episodes.
So as Nancy mentioned, we set up an email forum to receive weekly announcements along with links to the audio and show notes for each episode. And you can join that by sending an email to Eyes on Success, followed by the plus sign, followed by subscribe at googlegroups.com. And now, that is an announcements-only list, so people can't post to that. So it's meant to be a low-traffic list and not clutter up your inboxes.
And we are honorable. We promise it's low-traffic, and all we put on there is the weekly show announcement. And maybe 3 to 5 times a year, we'll post some other item of interest.
But we also realize that people do like to connect with other listeners and with people we've interviewed, so we set up a separate discussions list where anybody can post, and you can join that list by sending an email to EOS_discuss, followed by the plus sign, followed by subscribe at googlegroups.com.
And of course, if your preference is social media, every week we post to Facebook at Eyes on Success. We tweet on Twitter to @_EyesOnSuccess. And we also boo on Audio Boom at Eyes on Success.
And finally, I want to mention that people can't always capture all the contact information and other information to resources that we give in the show. So if you click on the show notes associated with any show, you'll find all of that information in the show notes in a text format for easy reference.
That's it for show number 1452. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the sociology of disability. Individuals with disabilities, including visual impairments, have all had experiences interacting with the majority non-disabled society. Next week, we'll speak with Tom Baylor, a blind professor of sociology, about his studies of how people with disabilities are treated by society in general and how this has been evolving. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.